Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
I don't know what we're going to talk about today, Howard.
Yeah. What's on everybody's minds in Israel? Yeah.
What are the options?
Wow.
Oh, my Lord. The Prime Minister was back on TV last night. And it's quite noticeable how these press conferences from the Prime Minister's office have evolved over time. Usually the press office in the Prime Minister's office has the Prime Minister standing up at the front with his usual kind of podium and kind of rows of seats where people sit. For the first rows are usually devoted to officials who are involved in whatever he's talking about. And then, of course, all the press and everybody behind that in rows of seats with the cameras and all the rest of it. And then he, at one point during the course of last week, he made sure that people didn't sit on every seat. So he said, you go and sit over there. I mean, during the course of the live press conference, you please move from there. You please move away. You know, distance yourselves from each other. Well, last night, there were like three seats in the room and distanced from each other. So all these rows of seats had been removed, and there were just kind of odd seats dotted around the room in order to try and send this message of the 2 meter separation. So, you know, he didn't have to reorganize people as to how they were sitting around, because there were really just hardly any seats available. People just sat here and there and whatever. But of course, he's keeping very, very firm control over the messages that are going out to the Israeli public. He's making sure that everybody understands what they need to do. I think that there's strong leadership being shown at this moment. We know that he comes on TV almost every night, not every night, but most nights, during the course of the, between 8 and 9 o'clock during the news time, stands up and gives the latest information and what the new restrictions are, of which there are plenty, you know, almost every day, something new. And in fact, yesterday there was speculation that there was going to be a very substantial lockdown. The press during the course of the day had been speculating that we might be kind of confined. There might be curfews even issued. And that wasn't helped during the course of the day by this incorrect information that came out about the latest number of people who had contracted the virus. All of a sudden, the number kind of jumped by 100. And then it was rectified afterwards and corrected to show the real number, which was far less than we had been advised during the course of the day. But the Prime Minister yesterday announced three kind of legs of what the Israeli economy is doing right now. So first of all, public sector workers. He's effectively said public sector work is now on an emergency footing only. So he's given freedom to all of those managers of offices and branches within the public sector, within the government sector, to send people home on holiday and to scale things down to literally just the most basic required services possible. And what he said is that public sector workers will be sent home on what is called an early Pesach holiday. People are being obliged to take leave from the actual leave that they have allocated to them each year. And so this is not free holiday days that they're getting. But people are being sent home, and every manager is obliged to scale his office down in order to keep just the most required people, and for the most basic services, the most urgent services required in the public sector. And in fact, there was an announcement yesterday that tax payments and VAT payments and national insurance and all the rest of it, which is usually due by the 15th of each month for the previous month, all of that's now being delayed, and people have got license to pay a lot later. In fact, I think a month or so later, and that may well be revised. So a significant scaling down of the public sector. As far as the private sector is concerned, the Prime Minister has placed a limit of only 30% of the number of people who are normally in an office location at any one time. 30% are allowed to be there now under the new restrictions. And that obviously doesn't apply to offices that have less than 10 people. They can still be up to their 10 people limit. But offices that are larger than that are only allowed to have 30% of the staff in the office at any given time. So that means either rotating staff, people coming and going on shifts, or people working from home or other arrangements. And of course, 2 meters to be maintained between everybody. Then the third thing he said was that emergency services, so things like supermarkets and banks and petrol stations and all of the things which are regarded as really required to keep the economy going, are operating as normal. So no change to that. And, of course, he then reinforced once again that there's no need for people to go and buy 2,500 rolls of toilet paper all at one go, because Israel has enough food for everybody to be able to get everything that they need, and enough supplies for everybody to get whatever they need without a run on the supermarkets. That includes Pesach goods, he's telling us. Don't run and go crazy on the Pesach things, because we have enough to give everybody all that they need. We have enough money to fill up the ATM machines for everybody who needs. There is enough petrol to go around, enough medication. Pharmacies are working around the clock as usual. So no change to the things which are regarded as basic necessities for people to continue to survive. So those are really the three legs that the Prime Minister announced yesterday. And then there was a whole host of other concessions that were made by the Minister of Finance, including delays for rates and taxes payments, and delays on mortgage payments and all kinds of financial arrangements in order to try to alleviate the financial stress that people are going through. So really, those are the main issues that were discussed in the Prime Minister's briefing yesterday. But I think it just gives the country a feeling of confidence of some sort, that there's somebody who's driving the ship, that, you know, when we all tune into his broadcast, that we're going to get advice as to what we should be doing, and everybody's taking that advice. So there's really kind of a very central point from which information is being derived, and there aren't, you know, hundreds of people standing up and giving all manner of different interpretations and things like that. We are following, we're obliged to follow, because this is a legal thing. We're obliged to follow what we're being told by the Prime Minister. He's setting it all out. The most interesting, or perhaps one of the most interesting things that he spoke about yesterday, was the fact that there's been an authorization for people to be followed electronically. And this has been set up for a period of 30 days, whereby effectively authorities can follow you through your phone. The signal that your phone emits can potentially be collected up by the phone companies and passed on to the authorities, and you can be tracked in terms of your movements, which of course is very problematic in terms of invasion of privacy. Yeah. However, the way that they plan to use it, according to what we're being told, is that if you are known to have come into near contact with a person who has been diagnosed with the virus, you will be contacted to say you need to go into quarantine because you've come into a certain proximity of a person who's known to have been diagnosed with the virus, and therefore you will be sent a message to say, even though you didn't know it when you were walking down the street, you passed by that individual, and now you are going into quarantine, off you go. So that's theoretically what the information is going to be used for. But of course, there is this issue about, you know, invasion of privacy, and we're being assured that it's not going to be used for negative purposes, but and the police are not going to be provided with this information, but it's very hard to say exactly how far this will go.
Yeah, and I think incredible what you're saying around the fact that Netanyahu coming on, communicating with people, showing real leadership. You know, this is not a time to, and unfortunately South Africans have that experience where our leadership disappears. Often at a time like this, we don't hear from our president. And this is the time that we need to hear from him almost every single day. This is what's happening. This is what's happened today. We saw that with the water crisis in Cape Town as well. People needed daily updates and want to know that this is being managed. Otherwise, you have to manage anxiety in a very, very different way. And what we're seeing in Israel is real leadership.
I think that's correct. I mean, you know, a lot of people have been highly critical of the Prime Minister. Obviously, you know, this is not a new issue. A lot of people are saying he's using this situation for his own personal needs in terms of trying to avoid these legal cases that he's having to deal with. He's using it in order to manipulate the government such that he can be re-elected reappointed as Prime Minister, because it's not really elected, reappointed as Prime Minister to get another term in office. So a lot of people are cynically saying he's using the situation. But I think that objectively speaking, he's showing, I think, what I would consider to be good leadership. He's really leading the way, and that people are definitely focused on the advice and the information that he's giving us. And that's what the country is looking to right now. There's a central figure, and he is it, and he's making these, holding these press conferences, and everybody listens in, and everybody reacts immediately to whatever he has to say. You know, from Wednesday, this is what's going to happen, and it's kind of being done right away. So I think that in this particular case, no matter what one thinks about him and what's happened up until now, I think he is showing good leadership, and I think that there is a feeling of confidence that people can have about, you know, where we're going to get our information from.
Yeah, and Simon says, why tell people about the cell phones? Why? What's to stop them leaving their phones at home when they go shopping to hoard toilet paper? I get that, but I think if you're living in a democracy, this is a very big issue, and I would imagine that the push and pull around privacy versus trying to stop this virus spread is important. But people do need to be informed. I think that would be the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is that, you know, obviously you can leave your phone at home. I don't know many people who do that these days.
Yeah, I still wouldn't. You can track me anywhere you want. I'm still keeping my phone.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think also people say, look, I don't actually mind being notified if I've come into close proximity, because without that information, I would never know. And I might have contracted the virus, and I might be passing it on to other people unknowingly. So maybe there is a certain use to that.
I agree. We don't have a lot of time, but just tell us about the swearing-in of Knesset yesterday.
Well, the 23rd Knesset was sworn in yesterday in a very strange manner. Three Knesset members at a time entering the main chamber of the Knesset, which otherwise was completely empty, and being sworn in as members of Knesset. Each member of Knesset had to have their temperature taken before they were allowed in. And I believe that there were actually three members of Knesset who were not allowed in as a result of their body temperatures not being in the normal range, and were asked to leave immediately. So I'm not quite sure where all of that goes after this. But they were each checked, and then they were sworn in this empty chamber. And effectively, we now have a Knesset, even though we don't have a government. And as I mentioned yesterday, the president did do his consultations with the party leaders. Benny Gantz was the one who received the most support in terms of when the party leaders were asked who they would like to see as prime minister. Benny Gantz apparently received the support of 61 members of the Knesset. The problem, of course, is that it included the Joint Arab List, which has 15 members of Knesset, and it also included Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party with 7 members. Those two are very, very unlikely to sit together in a government. And so even though the president is really kind of obliged to ask Benny Gantz to form the government, he's trying to push towards a national unity government. I think we're kind of as close as we're ever going to be to getting a national unity government. And I think that this corona emergency is a large amount of, you know, is pushing it towards that way. But we will see. At the moment, no government. The Knesset has been sworn in. And the rest remains to be seen.
Yeah, incredible. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, same time, same place, hopefully with only good news. It is 8:00. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.